On the percentage of business systems implemented, as I was indicating, we had appointed a new director IT in June of this year, and that fresh set of eyes has resulted in some weaknesses being identified and the governance, ICT governance issues being reconsidered. That covers the ICT charter and the ICT strategic plan. On the basis of that review, which is being carried out under the guidance of the ICT Strategic Committee, which is chaired by an ICT DDG from outside of the department, the engagement with business could not take place as planned in this quarter, because we needed to ensure that the ICT strategic plan was properly aligned to the business objectives of the department. So that work is currently being done, it's currently being reviewed, and the engagement with business will be executed in order to then determine the business requirements and ensure that there's a proper alignment there. Then in terms of Program 1, the non-achievement for the previous financial year, Chairperson, there are certain indicators that are time-bound and compliance-bound. So there is not, the only way that you can address the non-achievement is to ensure that you improve the level of your delivery going forward. And that is certainly the issue of the service providers. And if you look at quarter one and quarter two of last year, we were at 96% of service providers, and we have increased that in quarter three and four to 99%. And I've already indicated that consequence management is being implemented in relation to that. The departmental-wide risk management is a process that has been achieved in quarter one and two of this year. The reducing the number of risks that are rated as high risk, this has been achieved in the risk mitigation processes in quarter one and quarter two, risk mitigation reports having been given to the Audit and Risk Committee in the last meeting. On the ICT security tests, which had not been completed in last financial year, they have been achieved in the first half of this year. And the disciplinary processes I have already reported on. Moving then to the first quarter targets that had not been achieved in the first quarter for Program 1. The strategic risk management plan has been achieved. The risk implementation plan has been achieved. The quarterly reporting on the trend, showing the trends of payment for suppliers who submitted valid invoices, we have an average compliance of 96%, and as we have indicated, responsibility managers are subjected to consequence management in the cases of late approval of invoices. We are also now developing a process of ensuring that we look at where there are repeat offences and ensuring that further consequence management will take place if there are such cases. The 100% of disciplinary cases resolved within 90 days, we have already indicated, as the ICT systems availability and the business application. So the 95% we have achieved in quarter two, and the business applications implementation plan requires the refinement of the ICT strategic plan, as I've indicated. Chairperson, moving then to the program two performance information. On this slide, you have the eight targets that were planned for the program two of which have been achieved and six of which were not achieved. Let me indicate that quarter two for the STE branch was a period of transition, again with the DDG resigning and leaving on the 31st of August, and had been booked off for most of the month of August. Then the transfer of the Chief Director Social Development into the Chief Director Outreach post, the appointment, as we've already reported to you, of our Chief Director Economic Empowerment, Mr. Boy, who's sitting at the other end of this desk, who has also been acting as DDG STE. We have also, though, brought on board additional capacity on a contract basis to assist us with the Sanitary Dignity and Young Women and National Dialogues program. So if we move then to the non-achievement, in terms of the consultation on intervention mechanisms for improved childcare, a consultation document had been developed, but it remains work in progress because it requires further internal consultation on it, and we've not been able to have that consultation as effectively as we should have done due to other responsibilities, but it will require further engagement going on. But in addition, this is one of the issues that we have in the mid-year performance review that Minister had briefed the Portfolio Committee on last week. This is one of the issues that we have reviewed to ensure that we focus it not on the work that is the responsibility of social development, but that we engage further as we go into the National Dialogues program with further engagement at district level to be able to enrich the issues and our understanding of the role that childcare is playing in support of women. So that is one of the issues in which an erratum will be tabled once approved by Minister in Parliament to address how we address that going forward for the rest of the year. Moving to the next one, we were intending to do sector consultation on women's productive contribution to household and community care work. This remains work in progress due to our need for further consultation required internally. We had planned to have further discussion in terms of getting further guidance in terms of that, but we have also now indicated that this will also be addressed through an erratum. The consultation will take place with the Department of Labour to assess the impact of unpaid labour on women and to look at it in terms of Employment Equity Commission reports and in relation to Stats South Africa reports. So we've been given direction in terms of how to take that piece of work forward in this quarter. The progress report on consultation with stakeholders in the economic sector around improving women's socioeconomic empowerment through the 9-point plan, the first preliminary report had been finalised in that quarter, and it was scheduled for discussion in an SED cluster meeting during quarter three in order to be able to enrich the work going forward. Moving to the next indicator, this relates to the women's financial inclusion. We were required to do consultation on the discussion paper. We've had internal discussion within the department, and the discussion paper had previously been submitted to Minister. It has been submitted, and as Minister has indicated in her opening remarks, it remains a rough draft for consultation processes. So it has been shared with the Portfolio Committee for information sharing and not as a final product. Moving to the strategy on the gender mainstreaming and GFPs, our challenge here has been to get progress between departments on a discussion document in relation to the approach to GFPs and in relation also to the responsibilities for DGs across all government departments and in provinces in relation to gender mainstreaming. We had engaged with DPSA and submitted documentation to them. We have been engaging further with them, and in the second quarter we could not make significant progress because of delays in reworking the process from there. But the interventions that we have done is that we have
is it delays or the experience? Because we must tell the committee what is going on in government. I'm sorry, Chair.
The DG must not be diplomatic, because then when we come back, we will not be able to deliver. The challenge is that departments and governance cluster, which is responsible governance and administration, the DGs from various departments, including provinces, they don't want it, if I have to be blunt, because it has a bearing on the DGs, because we are saying if we have to succeed in gender mainstreaming, the DGs must take responsibility, and they don't want that. That's what we must say. Because if we say there are delay, we'll come back and delay and delay and delay, whilst it's held at the level which has to take it to the next step, which is ministers. So the DGs, the technical teams, are hell-bent not to have this. So I thought I need to clarify that, Chair. Instead of saying delays, you know, it's a nice word, but the reality is that we've been blocked. If that process had engaged extensively without subjectiveness, this process would be over by now. Thanks, Chair.
Just to add, the document has now been through the GNA Technical Working Group, and it has been through the DGs cluster. And those are the interventions that we have done in this quarter. To support what Minister is saying, indeed, we have resistance, and I think it's resistance on three levels. One, it's a reflection that departments do not fully understand gender mainstreaming, and we need to ensure that the placing of the socioeconomic empowerment of women in the core business of departments is fully understood. So there is still a strong feeling that in terms of the GFPs, it is an equity and HR function, although in some departments there is significant recognition that it is a core business function, and some departments are ready to move on it. But the second dimension to it, which is what Minister has reflected on, which is the accountability of heads of departments at both national, provincial and provincial department level, in relation to their responsibility to ensure that socioeconomic empowerment of women is central to their work, there is strong resistance to them taking direct responsibility for it. So the key areas of disagreement have been around the reporting lines of gender focal points, whether they report directly to the head of department, as was the original direction that had been mandated in the 2000 National Policy Framework, or whether they report to a DDG who reports to the DG, or whether they are embedded in the strategic planning unit. So those are the key issues. But we are now at a stage which it has been through the DG cluster, and we will be engaging Minister on the process going forward on that. But I think it's been a very informative process about the resistance and the lack of understanding of socioeconomic empowerment of women. Moving from there to the GRB framework, we have not achieved it within the timelines, but there is significant progress that has taken place. We have had two internal consultation meetings within the department, Minister having given very valuable direction that we needed to ensure that we strengthened our own understanding of the issues. So we have then been able to draft a concept paper that we have now in the third quarter been able to engage with our partners in Treasury, Stats SA, and we will follow up with DPME, who were unable to attend the last meeting. We will then be, once we have had that further engagement, be in a position to start engaging with experts within our country and furthermore. In essence, where we have reached is a clear understanding between ourselves and National Treasury that the institutionalization of gender-responsive budgeting is absolutely critical for it to become a sustainable process and not have the ups and downs that we've had going forward. The technical work that is being done currently is looking at how do we embed it in the budget cycle processes, but also how do we ensure that we start it in a manageable form, so that we are not going to try and do a big bang, but that we're able to focus on particular high-impact departments and high-impact programs. But that is technical work that we still need to do and take that through to the next stage of the consultation. On the discussion paper towards a national prevention strategy on the Integrated Programme of Action for Violence Against Women, we had started working on a draft discussion paper. The important element here is that we have realized that to be working on a national prevention strategy or interventions to improve the national prevention strategy on violence against women and children ahead of the national dialogue process will not generate the best outcome, and that the best outcome would be to take the conceptual work that has been done in pulling together existing diagnostic reviews and to take that forward into the work with the outcome of the national dialogue, so that we will be lifting up elements from the national dialogues that will inform then how we should be improving the prevention strategy. Similarly, in terms of the implementation of the Sexual Offences Act, again, a process in which we have started the analytical work, but what is important again is that this is a process in which we need to enrich that process with feedback from the national dialogue process. So that deals with Programme 2, and I think a very significant process going forward in which we are ensuring that the work led by the policy stakeholder coordination knowledge management work around the national dialogues is infusing back into the work of the Programme 2. On the non-achievement of the previous year, we have already reported to the committee that various of the targets had been discontinued due to the revision of the APP. The STEM intervention, there has been work done around the access to the young girls and young women in terms of STEM. The intervention plan developed for women's access to funding opportunities, what we have done is to include that in the draft, the financial inclusion discussion that we are still working on, consulting on. And then the intervention mechanisms in relation to implementing the status of women has been achieved for in quarter two. The intervention mechanisms on the empowerment of women in the ocean economy has been included in the broader report on the recommendations of the status of women in the economy and in the nine-point plan, and it's no longer a standalone product. The intervention mechanism for implementing the status of women analytical report has been achieved in quarter two of this year, as has the infrastructure value chain, because again the nine-point plan has got a very strong infrastructure value chain program. And the best practice on one-stop shops has not been achieved, but again this is an area in which the Tutuzela Care Centres is a critical part of the discussion through the national dialogues of being able to source from women at community level to what extent is that model enabling them to get the support and services that they need. The GFP and a document I've already briefed on where we've got to at this stage, and I think that the last one is a duplication of what I've said in relation to the Tutuzela Care Centres. The targets from quarter one, the consultation document on the provision of childcare best practices, I've indicated that we will be issuing an erratum in terms of how we will take that forward. The consultation in relation to unpaid work will be consulted with and engaged with the Department of Labour, and we are intending to finalise that target by the end of quarter four. And the consultation with stakeholders in the economic sector and the finalisation of the Women's Financial Inclusion Paper for consultation has been achieved. The GFP document, it was not achieved in the second quarter, but I've indicated the progress and I've indicated also the nature of the challenges that we experienced in relation to that. On GOB, we had not achieved the time frame that we had wanted, but again, I've indicated the progress that we are making on that level. And I think that the partnership that we've got between us as government departments is going to put us in a much stronger position. The discussion paper on the prevention strategy in integrated program of action I've addressed. It will now be linked into the outcomes of the dialogues, as will the best practice for the Thuthuzela care centres. Chairperson, moving then on to Program 3. Program 3 has got 12 targets, 5 of which were achieved, 7 of which were not achieved in quarter 2. The first 3 targets relate to the research areas. The first is the research, a research report or a progress report on research analysis of the AgriParks program. The desktop review of the research has been initiated. It has not been approved as a product because there is a consultative meeting that still needs to take place with the lead department in relation to it, but it is also going to be incorporated into
I just want to have clarity, because what the minister said is that the financial inclusion is not, if it's on a draft stage, it shouldn't be achieved. So I just would like the DG maybe to explain that, please.
The quarter two target was consultation on a discussion paper, and the internal discussions with the relevant chief directorates in the department were undertaken, and the discussion paper was that had been previously submitted and not accepted was resubmitted and approved as a document that can be then taken into further external consultation. So our achievement for the quarter was achieved. Not the, the work on the financial inclusion discussion paper carries on right the way through the year. So it's a partial achievement towards the end of year objective. Chairperson, we are reporting on quarter two performance, which is against the quarter two target. The quarter two target was consultation on the discussion paper on women's financial inclusion. So we are not reporting against the achievement of the full performance indicator. Some of those indicators could even be 2 or 3 year targets before we have finally concluded it. We are reporting against the second quarter target, and we had the internal discussion on women's financial inclusion, which resulted in us being able to get approval of that draft financial inclusion paper for consultation outside of the department. Chair, can I continue with the... Chairperson, we will be guided by the committee and the minister on that.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just to clarify, that is why I was saying some of the documents, we can only come to the committee when we know that there's an endorsement. Our internal processes are like work in progress. You don't report on work in progress and say you have achieved. So I will say it's a document which is work in progress. That is why I said it's a rough, because the reason why I'm saying that, we have not gone through government processes. For instance, the technical team, the DGs, no one has seen the document. So if we say we have achieved, it means therefore it has gone through the various stages. So I will say, as you ask, Honourable Member, it's work in progress. Hence I refer to it as a draft. Because if you're going to take us to task, let's assume that it goes out and they say this is what has been produced by us, we'll say no, we were still discussing it internally. You know, so that is what I'm saying, it's more of work in progress than achieved.
Chairperson, can I continue? We will address that direction. Chairperson, I'm now moving to Program 3. For Program 3, we have 12 targets planned. We have achieved 5, and the 7 were not achieved. The research on the AgriParks program developed in Column 2, which is our target for Quarter 2. This has not been achieved. There is work in progress. There is consultation that needs to take place with one of the departments that is one of the two lead departments. And we will be, in relation to this, publishing an erratum to take forward this work as part of the focusing research analysis on the 9-point plan as a whole.
Chair, I just want to make an upfront intervention. Where we're referring to a 9-point plan, I want to clarify that. That's the, what you call it, erratum. We're going to come back to the committee because how it has been captured, we will never achieve. But part of it, it does not reflect properly because part of the challenge, we don't have the capacity to do research ourselves. And therefore, in terms of the 9-point plan, the president gave us a mandate to monitor departments. The departments must give us reports about what they are doing on women, not us doing research. Because when we say we're doing research on agri-parks, we're doing the work of agriculture. And that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to analyze their programs, which impacts on women, how successful are those programs, and are they realistic, not doing research. So I thought I need to clarify all the points on 9-point plan to say, we've got to come to you and say, this is what the Department of Agriculture says it's doing for women. And this is what the Department of Economic Development in the PICC doing when it comes to infrastructure development. That's the mandate we got from the president after we produced the report on status of women. Not to do, that is why we're saying we're going to come back, because the team in the department didn't understand what is expected. We can't do research, because if you ask us, what research are we doing on DAF work? The only research I think we can do, but it's ours, is to analyze what they're presenting to us, the impact on it, on women, then be able to come and say, or call them to say, no, this is a flimsy program, or you're telling us this, on check, it doesn't exist. How much they budgeted, all those issues. So the 9-point plan, it's about all the economic departments, not a particular program, but it's about what the DAF does when it comes to women in different areas. That's what we must bring to the committee. That's what we're going to work around in making sure that Quota 9, our mandate is clear, and that people in the department understand what is expected to them, instead of talking about looking at measures, whilst we're supposed to looking at measures on what is DAF making sure that women are empowered. So it's the whole economic cluster which we must bring to the committee when we come and report next time. Thank you, Chair.
Minister, I think I want to add on the report that you must bring to the committee. It is not only what the department is doing, it's how they do it. You're going to tell them this is how you think they can do it so that they improve the implementation and the delivery process. So by the time they come and show you this is what we have delivered, at least you have it is the things that you want, the impact, because we want the output. Thanks.
Minister and Chairperson and Honourable Members, thank you for that. That covers in the next two targets as well. So the three targets that relate to research strategy and policy analysis would all be covered by what Minister has just indicated and will be addressed in the errata. Moving then to the knowledge gateway, we were meant to have prepared a progress report on phase one of the IKM strategy, which involved an audit of the IKM needs. We have not been able to do that. Again, this area of work was one in which, in that quarter, the Chief Director was hospitalized during that process, so there was some unevenness in it. But what we have done is to establish a repository within our the intranet and to start the process of being able to ensure that we are building towards a knowledge hub. So work in that has been started, but the target has not been achieved. Then in relation to the number of reports and in relation to international commitments, again, it is an area that we will be producing an erratum to correct the wording, because the use of the word domestication in both the indicator and the target is incorrect. What we are responsible for is reporting on the implementation of commitments in the international instruments. The number of outreach initiatives on women, including young women, the outreach initiative for the second quarter was the Women's Month activities, and a report has been finalized in relation to that. In relation to number of community mobilization initiatives, there was an International Mandela Day mobilization on the 21st of July, Her Story Dialogue on the 29th of July, and the National Prayer Day on the 4th of August. So the three community mobilization initiatives for that were conducted. The M&E system, the M&E system draft has been developed. The issue here in relation to the nature of gender-based violence cases, of reported cases, this is a process in which we have not been able to make the progress to the extent that we want. And we are approaching this by ensuring that, again, it is linked into the national dialogues process, that we are able to look at the cases in the communities that we go to that have not been adequately addressed or have been adequately addressed, and ensure that that information feeds back into this analysis. So again, it is one of the areas in which we will be combining this area of work with the outcome of the national dialogues. In terms of the strategic planning documents from the economic cluster that were analysed, we had a number of first draft APPs submitted to us by DPME, and the analysis has been done and submitted to DPME, but the APPs from various sector departments were not received on time, and so the target will actually be fully achieved in the third quarter, not in the timeline of the first quarter. In terms of the impact assessment reports on women's empowerment, a draft report had been considered, but this is an area in which we will be integrating this with looking at the impact of women's empowerment initiatives in the national dialogues, because in that concept we are linking not only violence against women and children, but also looking at skills development and economic empowerment interventions, and that will be completed going forward. The M&E framework has been approved. Moving to areas of non-achievement for the previous financial year, we have already reflected that the STEM work has been taken forward in our partnership with OESO. The policy analysis report, that target was discontinued because it is now being incorporated into the work around the 9-point plan and departments reporting on that. The finalization and implementation of the IKM strategy I've already spoken to, and the two targets in relation to management information management standards and a departmental information resource center were discontinued as standalone targets included in the IKM strategy going forward. And then the policy brief on the back industrialist program again has been discontinued and is taken forward through the work that Minister has elaborated on in relation to the 9-point plan. The targets from last year on Program 4, the M&E is covered by the M&E framework. The monitoring tools, there is that relates to the M&E systems work. The monitoring reports, this has been included in the M&E framework and the work of STE. The food security impact assessment report was discontinued. The stakeholder framework is included in the outreach strategy, and there is further work that needs to be done in relation to that. And the draft M&E strategy has been achieved. Moving to the targets from Program 1 in Quarter 1 that had not been finalized, the Solemn Declaration Update report. We have not yet achieved that. We have engaged with Minister to solicit her support in relation to getting other departments to assist with the information. We've also engaged at departmental level with departments and provided a framework to assist departments to provide information on that. So it is work in progress and it will be achieved. The implementation of phase one of the IKM strategy, I've already indicated the human and financial resources are not available. In addition, we have determined in our performance review that that is an area of work that is, given our very limited resources in the department, perhaps premature in our APP, and it will be part of what is addressed in the erratum. The implementation of the AU Agenda 2063 requires extensive consultation, and that work is still work in progress. And I've already indicated on the reported cases on GBV that will be taken forward through the National Dialogues Program. Chairperson, that deals with Part B. I'm going to speak then to the governance section, which some of which we have already touched on. So the first two bullets relate to the risk mitigation process, so I'm not going to elaborate on those. We are working on implementing fraud prevention, whistleblower policy and fraud prevention plan. We have no cases of fraud or corruption that have been reported in the second quarter. The implementation of the occupational health and safety policy is taking place. We have appointed the necessary officials to perform those functions. The impact process I'll come back to at the end. The audit action plan we also cover later on in the process, and we are going to amend the performance agreements of the CFO, the Chief Director Corporate Management and Chief Director Strategic Management to ensure that the driving of the audit action plan in their sectors is incorporated as a performance requirement. Moving to the HR oversight report, the first slide gives you the expenditure per program in relation to our personal expenditure. The second slide then gives you the vacancies, and you'll remember that previously we'd reported that the vacancy rate is improving. We've got 108 approved funded posts at the time, and we had 102 posts filled in that quarter, and there are 10 people held additional to the establishment. the equity employment, sorry, Minister's asking me to speak to the detail of the 10, and I'm sure that Mr. Chiviti will support me in relation to it. These are posts where we, people who we have employed where we do not have a post, for example, in internal audit, there's an additional person who's employed in internal audit. In social transformation, we've employed somebody on a short-term contract because we do not have the funding to fund that post over the MTF, so we've employed somebody on contract. And in policy stakeholder coordination, knowledge management, it was a process of bringing in on board the project secretariat for the 60th anniversary, ensuring that we had additional capacity to manage the cross-department part of that work. And I think the other one that I've left out is we had also employed somebody on a short-term contract to assist with the job evaluation processes. Moving then to the equity employment pattern, we've given you the breakdown here of funded posts, the number of posts filled, and the breakdown in terms of race and male and female. What we didn't do was to add up the men and women, but if you look at the total, we have a total of 69 women employed in the department and 33 men employed in the department, making up the 102 that we had as at the 30th of September, with four people with disabilities in that 102. The job evaluation process is one that we've been reporting to the Portfolio Committee on. I want to emphasize here that the job evaluation is for posts and for categories of posts and not for each individual employee. So, for example, a secretary's post in a chief directorate would be evaluated once and it would cut across all of the posts that fit into that same category. So I think it's important for us to understand that so that we don't see that there's a disjunction between the number of posts and the number of posts that have been evaluated and think that there are some that we are not evaluating. At the end of the second quarter, we had 15 posts that are still outstanding, and those are in the process of being finalized literally as we speak. The service terminations, we have had a contract that ended. We have had a resignation of three people. We have had one retirement, and we have had five people who've been transferred to other departments in promotional appointments to other departments. One of those three resignations was the DDG of STI. The status of the special leave cases, as at the 30th of September, and I will update the information as well, so that the Portfolio Committee is aware of where we are at this point. The DDG has been placed on precautionary suspension as opposed to special leave on an unrelated disciplinary matter. The Chief Director has been transferred to the Department of Telecoms and Postal Services at the end of June? End of June 2016. And the two directors, as at the 30th of September, remained unresolved, but we have issued them with letters to recall them from special leave. We are now holding them out of adjustment, and they have accepted that and come back into the department. But we continue to engage with social development in relation to the issues around NMOS that related directly to these cases of special leave. If I can then move to the financial information. The financial overview provides you with the appropriation for the financial year, 196.9 million. The net actual spending as at 30th of September was 96.5 million, which translates into 49% of the appropriation. The compensation of employees budget, you've got the figures there. We are underspending as at the 30th of September by 1%. due to vacancies that have emerged in the department with the terminations that we had spoken to. We are in the process of advertising posts. We are in the process of closely monitoring the compensation of employees to avoid unauthorized expenditure in relation to this, and the Budget Committee is addressing this on a monthly basis. The goods and services budget of 50.7, actual expenditure 23.9. The underspending of 3.1 million was due to consultation with stakeholders that didn't take place as anticipated at the time, but also the partnerships that we had established through the Women's Month program, which resulted in significant less financial burden on us as a department. The transfers and subsidies are taking place as required, the transfers to CGE done timely and in line with projections and verified by internal audit. The capital expenditure, as at the end of September, was an area of concern. We have been through a very intense process of identifying capital needs for procurement of capital assets, and we are anticipating that the whole budget will be utilised on this by the current financial year, and the Budget Committee is monitoring this very directly. The slide then gives you the programme expenditure. The percentage in administration programme is of actual expenditure is 52, in programme 2 it's 47, and in programme 3 it's 46, overall the 49% of our expenditure. Program 1, the reason for the overspending in relation to the office accommodation invoices was that we had only received office accommodation invoices in September. You'll remember that previously we'd indicated that there was a delay in receiving them. In Program 2, the CGE transfer takes place from this budget program. The variance was in relation to underspending due to the challenges that Minister had elaborated on in relation to the GFP and heads of departments' responsibilities for mainstreaming the socioeconomic empowerment of women. But we are hoping that that will be unblocked as we move forward. Program 3, which is at 46%, the key issue here, I've already indicated, is the lower expenditure than planned on infrastructure and catering for Women's Month. If I then move to the financial accounting part of the presentation, on the suspense accounts, we are ensuring that this is reconciled on a monthly basis. We are clearing long outstanding balances. It is an ongoing process, and additional capacity is currently being sourced to ensure that there's somebody who can pay very specific attention to turning that around. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure relates to three cases in the expenditure as at the 30th of September. Irregular expenditure is 338,000 relating to six cases, and the deviations are 11 transactions and five cases were single source providers, and six cases were urgent procurement issues. The payment in 30 days I have already spoken to in the performance information. The Portfolio Committee had requested us to keep you briefed in terms of the investigation into irregular expenditure. The investigator has been appointed and has started, and the startup documents were provided already to the investigator on the 25th of October. The challenge that we're experiencing is around the reconciliation and clearing of the suspense accounts, but the additional capacity will be brought on board to address that, and we are currently awaiting security screening on bringing that person on board. You had requested the breakdown of expenditure on major events. Our major events were Women's Month, and you have there the breakdown in terms of the amount of money that the department had spent on that. Chairperson, the international trips for the full financial year up to the 30th of September, in other words, covering both quarter one and quarter two, was the 58th Ordinary Session of the Africa Commission on Human and People Rights in Banjul in Gambia. The minister went with one support person. The fourth woman delivery, my apology, there should be a Y on delivery, global conference in Denmark was led by the minister and a delegation of four people. The SADC technical meeting was held in Gaborone in Botswana, and the delegation size, in fact, was two people. On the 32nd session of the Human Rights Council in Geneva, minister led a delegation of five people. The third high-level panel on gender equality, which is part of the lead-up to the AU summit in July in Rwanda, the minister led a delegation of five people. I'm not speaking, chairperson, to the details of the finances, but they are there for the committee's information. The AU summit, minister attended with a delegation of four, and the Commonwealth Women's Affairs minister led a delegation of five people.
Did not go to the summit.
We went to the high-level panel, but when we were in Kigali and making our own assessment, when we are supposed to go for the AU summit, we took a decision not to go. Because if you've been to Rwanda, the space is so small. There's also difficulties of hotels, and we just felt that we're going to be so squeezed when the heads of state are there. Then we felt that we can be represented by Dirko instead of us. So I'm just saying that that four, I don't know where does it come from, because maybe somebody else went, but my team and we didn't go for the second round. So I thought I need to make that correction.
My sincere apologies for a serious error that was done on the basis of the budgeting, and I will ensure going forward that we double check that this is not done on the basis of what is prepared for and budgeted for, but that it's prepared on the basis of attendance. My deepest apologies, and Minister in particular to you, for providing wrong information on that. Chairperson, the financial misconduct, there were no cases of financial misconduct reported during the second quarter. You had requested a report on the audit action plan. Chairperson, can I indicate that on this slide, the name of the...
Sorry, I'm going to start. Ngibonge Minister, lapho ngaphambili. Ngobukhombisa ukusihlonipha ukuthi njoba sila iconcern yethu ukubona izinto zenzeka ngendlela efanele. Nginombuzo engazi ukuthi ngizophenduleka noma ngizophenduleka. Ukuthi kungani uDG afuna ukuzosishaya ngendlebe etsheni. Ngoba lama ngicabanga akekho phethe induku. Kuphela thina njoba sila iconcern yethu. Fika uzositshela ukuthi lokhu kwenzekile, lokhu akwenzekanga, akekho uzokushaya, akekho uzowenzayo. Ngiyambonga uminister, ngoba uminister ibuyela kule nto engihlezi ngisho ngithi amaminister aseyinkingeni, ngoba khona la thina sishaya wona, kanti inkinga yilabantu abangafuni kwenza umsebenzi. Kuyimanje uzodlala ngathi uzositshela indaba zokuthi kuyiwe lapho kodwa kuyiwanga. And ma uthi uyabheka ngithule ngilalela, lapho nikhombisa ungathi nificane endleleni, omunye ukhuluma lokhu. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Minister, for having been able to correct the mistake. Minister, I always tell people that ministers do not know that these people who are working with are not doing their job. Why is the DG coming here and deceiving us? Because the minister is saying something else, the DG is saying something else. Thank you. Also to add what she was saying, which is of concern as well,
I think we've said it many times that we are not here to look at your mistake. We are here to work with you. And constantly you come here as if you're going to get a hiding from us. That is not our interest. Our interest is to make sure that this department works.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the members. I thought it also is highlighted by the team coming and presenting what is not factual, because the next thing will leave you with this report, which it's not factual, and you pose questions, and later we say, no, it's not true. Therefore, I agree with you, we'll be like misleading the committee. And that's why I'm correcting that, because indeed we were going to go, but encountering difficulties in Rwanda when the summit was happening, I mean, those who've been to Kigali, they know. It's a small developing town. There are no hotels. Transport, it's a challenge. So imagine now, when we had it during the minister's meeting, there were challenges during the high panel. What more if now you have 50 heads of states from Africa, all the countries being there, and we are there, we become no people. So you might be stuck in Kigali for more days when you think you're going to be there for 4 days, and it means you incur more expenses. That's why I'm correcting it, to say we never went back, because we thought, there's no way in which we can be in that space, because it's so, I mean, hotels are new, so small, and one of the challenges which we experience is that today the price of a new hotel, today it's free, tomorrow then it's high, so we realize that it's some things which we will not be able to come back and account for. And that's why I'm correcting. And I think my team, what they should have done is to reconcile, to come back and reconcile, even if maybe they had indicated to say they had budgeted, but then there was a withdrawal, show that we did withdraw as a team and we did not go, Chair.
Chairperson, Minister.
Going to hold back, but it's a bit disturbing, because you should have actually seen these shortcomings when you were still in your offices and not here. Paints a bleak picture, and I'm addressing all of you, because we are working as a team. And Minister, I hope you're going to ensure that such hiccups don't happen. It depicts a very bad picture. It means you're not talking to each other. And or when you discuss those things, someone is not prepared to listen with understanding. But please correct that. It's bad.
On the audit action plan,
sorry, Slan. Again, for me, I come Slan. The longer. Sengichaze lokho. Mina ngasho ukuthi uDG akahloniphi le komiti noma lo mnyango. Yingakho ekugcineni kuyogcina silo sikhala lo mnyango uyafeyila. Kanti inkinga ungazimiseli. Funaka DG wazi njobula uze kubantu abacabangayo njobe ukhuluma nje siyalalela. And asizona ingane and njoba sila simele abantu ama iSouth Africa yayibona inkulu kangakanani, yayibona inkinga ingakanani. Lezi zinto sizokwazi ukuthi siyifake lana, sizothemba kanjani sizokwenzeka. Ekugcineni bese lo mnyango uyifail. Kanti inkinga yilendlela ongakwazi wena njengo DG ukuthi umele lo mnyango. And izinto uyithathe njoba zinjalo uyilethelwe ayilana sihlulekile ngo 1 no 2 no 3 kuze nathi sibone ukuthi yipi impact esifakayo uyabo ukuze sihambe kanye kanye ngoba ukufaila kwenu funani kwazi akuzulusho ukuthi kufaila nina lonke leli commit noma wonke lo mzimba unjani ufailile singasho ukuthi hayi inyango kaminista uyabhedwa nje kodwa umunwe lo isithupha sikhomba nathi uqobo esihlezi la so ke asifuna uzoba i-rubber stamp la next time mawuza la yazi ukuthi uza kubantu abacabangayo abahlupheka ngempela kathi ngoba sisuka kubantu phansi kunenkinga yabona nje iy'nkinga zonke lezi zokutshela zona so manje angibona uzizokwazi ukusebenza uma uzosizokutshela ukuthi sineyinkinga ka-1 no 2 no 3 okufanele sizisebenze sonke kodwa uzobuya uzothi hayi zenziwe kuba kuyimanje uzohamba hamba usitshela ukuthi nisebenzile kuphi ngasikhathi sini obani ababhenefithile uyayibona loo nto asilwi but funa sihloniphane ukuthi njengoba sila inhloso ukwenza izimpilo zabantu zibe ngcono ngiyabonga sihlalo
thank you Chairperson with your permission I have to stress this that the DG doesn't respect the committee doesn't respect us DG you've come here to the people who are really alive we are listening we represent people down there and how are we going to trust you if you fail to report well to us so that we are able to have an impact. We are coming from people from grassroots who are waiting for us, who are waiting for the action from us. If you fail, if your department fails, you are failing us all. There are a lot of problems that you are having within the people down there. Please do your job properly. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you, and I have heard that very clearly. The committee had asked us to brief you on the audit action plan. I believe that the audit action plan has been provided to the committee. On this slide, we need to correct the name of the committee. This slide speaks to the audit and risk committee, not the audit steering committee. The audit and risk committee is an external committee chaired by Advocate Huma. The Audit and Risk Committee has noted the concern of the increase in the number of findings that have not been resolved from the previous year. We have developed the Audit Action Plan. We have provided the Audit Action Plan to the Audit and Risk Committee, and it is being monitored in each of their meetings. So that process is in place. Internally, apart from submitting reports on the audit action plan to each of the audit and risk committees, internally the audit and steer committee is meeting. It is chaired at the moment by either the DG or the acting CFO. And it is meeting at the moment on a monthly basis, and in the period in which the audit is being conducted, it will be meeting on a weekly basis to, one, address the queries that are being raised to ensure that we address the root causes of the findings of last year and that corrective measures are implemented. In the audit action plan, you can see that there's a clear indication of each recommendation. So we've cascaded all of the audit findings into the action plan. We've identified the person responsible, we've identified time frames, and where relevant cost implications. And we also then are indicating again the issue of the suspense accounts that we will be employing a contract person. Chairperson, the final part of the presentation is then the impact process. That slide just gives you the description of the various different levels that are involved in the impact. It is important to indicate that they have introduced a level 2.2 plus or 2.5 that previously did not exist. And I think that what they were realizing is that there's a category of performance that is compliant but doesn't fully reach the level of three, and that there was a need for us to, for government to be able to recognise that process. So we have to date improved the process of monitoring compliance with the impact by creating a dedicated unit that's responsible for monitoring that progress and reporting on that progress. The key performance area coordinators have been appointed, and they meet as a committee to discuss and identify progress as we go through the year, not simply waiting for the time to load the documentation. It is also a standing agenda item that we engage in as management, so that we are able to track how it goes forward. There's a pre-audit process to identify gaps and propose corrective action, so we've got a partnership between the MPAT coordinators and internal audit and ensuring that we are moving forward. We have also engaged DPME to get clarity on certain issues that we were concerned about, to understand fully the standards in relation to human resource management, and to be able to then go ahead and load the documentation for this year's MPAT. So the MPAT improvement plan has been developed, it's been approved for each standard, and that for each of the standards that were not complying with the requirements. Chairperson, this slide gives you the strategic management comparative scores for 2015 and 2016. Please remember that 2016 is at this stage our self-assessment, because it has been loaded at the end of September, and it then goes through the moderating process, and we only get the results, the final results of the 2016 in early 2017. But you can see in terms of the strategic management processes that we are improving. The evaluation process is a requirement that has now been introduced into MPAT, that all departments are required to do an evaluation of one of their programs, and we are hoping that the process of appointing the chief director responsible for M&E will enable us to identify which is going to be the most valuable program to do an evaluation on. So that is an issue that we will be addressing going forward. Moving to the governance and accountability, the only element there where we have regressed is in relation to prevention of fraud and corruption, and it is an issue of the requirements in terms of the framework require that we have a dedicated anti-corruption capacity. And in a department of our size, there is no ways that we can have a dedicated dedicated standalone capacity. So we have the fraud prevention policy and plan and anti-corruption plan in place, but it is managed by people who have other responsibilities as well. So we will need to engage further and put documentation in place that confirms that we, given our resource constraints, we will not be able to fully comply with what DPSA has required of all government departments. And then on 2.8.1, the corporate governance ICT, I've already explained in the performance information that at this stage we are on a level on that, but it is an aspect with the new director IT that we envisage progress. Chairperson, I think I've spoken to this. The service delivery improvement plan, again, is an aspect in which we are engaging intensively with DPSA. And again, it's an issue of the service delivery improvement plan and the nature of our department as not a service delivery department but a policy department is a challenge. But we are engaging actively on addressing that part of it. In terms of human resource management, our main challenge is in relation to human resource planning. The difficulty there is that we have a budget that does not allow for significant growth as the department, and so being able to do proper human resource planning when you don't have the budget for it is a challenge. But it is an issue that we are engaging with both DPME and DPSA on how we take that area forward. On other areas, you can see that in the course of the since last year, we have made significant improvements. I think I've spoken to that process. On financial management, again, an issue that some of the service delivery standards or performance standards are set for departments that have got big inventories and big logistics issues. So, for example, on logistics management, we engaged with DPME about the need for us to have a completely standalone policy and procedures in relation to that, or whether it could be incorporated into an overarching policy. But there's work that we need to do in relation to that to be able to address it. I think on the next slide, we indicate that the logistics management, we're expected to develop a policy on inventory, and our inventory is basically consumables and stationery, and it's a very different nature of inventory from a department like, for example, correctional services that has an absolutely massive inventory. Chairperson, that gets us to the final part of the presentation. We are in a position in relation to the impact where we are moving significantly forward, we believe. It's obviously still due, subject to the moderating and then further engagement with the department before the final results are there. We are flagging that the financial and human resources constraints, and I think that Minister had indicated this in our interaction with the Portfolio Committee last week. We do not have good news in terms of the preliminary information in relation to our resourcing, but we do continue to engage with Treasury in relation to that. And then, Chairperson, just perhaps as my final comment, firstly to apologise for the error in the presentation, and I do not disrespect the committee. It was an error that is unacceptable, and I will make sure that I put in place systems that will enable us to never again have information that is inaccurate in our report. But also then just to remind the Portfolio Committee of what Minister has indicated, that from our mid-year performance review, we will be tabling an errata that will enable us to ensure that we are transparent in relation to what it is that we will be able to achieve with our resource constraints and with the challenges that we experience as a department in the rest of this financial year, and that will be tabled in Parliament once the internal process has been finalised. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are there further questions to the DG, to the committee?
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is around the issue of what has been said by the DG, that the department, some of the officials in the department, they don't understand the gender mainstreaming. But I want to know why, because as a department, we have able to employ the highly skilled personnel. But why is the DG saying that they don't understand the gender mainstreaming, and don't you have any training around that? And also, on why is there a resistance on the side of the DGs? Also, can the DG give us who the names of the staff that has been on special leave, and the ones you said has been requested to come back to the department, and give us the reason why he or she was suspended, and what reasons have he or she been called to come back to the department? And also for the names of the two directors that you are busy with the DSD on the placements, can also give us the names of those. And can you also elaborate on why there is an appointment of a contract worker in finance at a cost of 255,000 rand? Do you have any post advertisement as a department, and what are those posts? And the last question is, how do you evaluate the performance of the department? as we have seen that mostly targets have not yet been achieved, but the funds have been 99% used. And what is the problem of not achieving those targets? Thank you, Chair.
After that,
I think you must conclude on the discussion with the DGs, because as far as I'm concerned, the issue of empowering women, if DGs don't understand their responsibilities, I think we are in trouble, basically, as a country. So it means that the three issues that affect women, which is poverty, unemployment, and inequality, will never be achieved. So this 5 years, we must rule it out. At this point in time, we are 3 years down the line. We have not even started addressing the issues yet. So if in these 3 years we have not convinced them that these responsibilities they must take, which they had 22 years to understand women's issues, I can give them 22 years, starting from 1994, that the African National Congress has had all these years. I don't want to read the other years, starting from 1913, that the African National Congress wanted to empower women. We don't have the time. If I would have been the one who hired them, I would be rethinking their employment now, because I don't see them giving us the delivery that we want. And you must remember, we're talking about the 52% of the population that is sitting there waiting to be salvaged. You must remember that the African population has been deployed by a system of government into poverty. The whole population was deployed into poverty. How do you do that? How do you take them back into the mainstream of the economy? It means everybody, including the ordinary cleaner, must understand how you must salvage that population, that 80% of the population. But at this point in time, we're only talking about the 52%. If this thing has not drummed into their heads, it means that they're not good to be in those positions. That's the first thing that we must talk to them about. The second thing is that we must have time frames. As this department, you must give them time frames. By this time, this is what we need that to do. We can't, I don't want to use the English word, it sounds vulgar, you know. We can't delay the matter further. So if I wanted to use that strong word, I don't want to use it, because I'm talking also to human beings. We can't delay this matter anymore. So you have to give them time frames. If you have to deliver, you need to give them time frames. They must know that we mean business, and we mean business now. So in all the targets that you have withdrawn, disconnected, they are in line. Disconnected, discontinued. It's one and the same thing. Yeah, that is why one language cannot translate the other. Maybe Nakasi Sotukiri ditusidri. So, and I'm saying all the targets that you say are disconnected or discontinued are the same targets that affect women, that can take out women out of their poverty positions. So I don't want to talk about them. The minister has promised that you're bringing in a document where we're going to punch holes into some of the gaps that we will see out of the document. So I'll wait for that document. So my main issue, DG, is that we don't have time on our side. We only have 1 year. I don't want to say 2 years, because the other year, it will be a year where we will be campaigning. And we need your outputs so that we can say, this is what we have done in the last 5 years. So you have not given me time frames with the DGs that you are still nursing that they need to deliver on your part. I just want to stop there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the Minister and also to the DG and the department's staff. I just want to find out, when it comes to gender mainstreaming, for now, I think ever since we started in this committee, we've been drafting that document. And now today, to find out that the staff doesn't know what is that, what is it that has been, you know, was on the draft for so long, and I really don't understand. Actually, today is worse than it's ever been, to find out that the DGs are now the DGs of different departments are now complying when it comes to gender focal points and also gender mainstreaming. I wouldn't have thought that we would say to them, we would be in a point now where we're still saying, can we sit with you and have a dialogue? I would have thought now would say, okay, you've had, for the past 3 years, you've had budgets that are allocated specifically for programs for women. What have you done? Those kind of reports, that's what you should ask for. And that you should be reporting on that to say, okay, out of so many departments, these are the only ones that they've achieved, 1, 2, 3, even if none of them have. I think a report like that will help us, because then sitting here as from opposition, I can do something with that. So now it's basically been told, okay, they're not complying, they don't want to listen. But what we want to know is, like, come back with something that we can actually say, this is what we have done, and the outcome is zero. I think it's a better position to be on. Then you know what to fight. You know which department to fight based on that. Because not all of these departments, they are getting allocation for women empowerment. And what is it they're doing? So the budgets have been utilized. And I think you have to say, you know, you haven't achieved that. What have you done with the money? You know, how many women were empowered? How many women benefited from those programs? Those are the questions that we're supposed to be asking. And also, I'm really worried about the department, because I don't think we really know what's happening. Because you have STEM is coming back again. STEM is not here, STEM is coming. And you also say now STEM has been achieved. I haven't heard about STEM for a very long time. And all of a sudden, STEM is back. Can you, if you could just please, we just spoke now with a member next to me. Just back to us, what is, Honorable Seke, Program 2? The whole page, what are you talking about on this page? And also, you're talking about this child care provision. What is that? I think we have to, we're talking about women empowerment, but we are not putting that as our top priority. Mm-hmm. We are not achieving that. And if we're not achieving that, or even if we're saying that, okay, we are failing, if the minister was not here today, we would have still been blank, not knowing what's happening. Because now, for the first time, we're finding out that, like, there are hurdles within departments. And we have to be open about those things and say, this is the situation, this is where we stand. Can you, as committee members, help us? Because if you say to me, agriculture is not complying, we have the powers to call agriculture and say, hey, you're not complying, what's wrong? What's the problem? So give us the powers that we have so that we can utilize them to assist you to be able to achieve your goals.
The department can still evaluate them without this department telling them. You have their budgets. You can sit down and say, on this year you were supposed to deliver this 1, 2, 3. Like IDC, for instance. IDC is not empowering women. And they have billions of rands. And you're not challenging them. You're not calling them. You're not making them accountable. As long as you don't make them account, they will never deliver on women's issues. There are many institutions that are supposed to deliver on women. DTI, for instance. Call them. Tell them you have this and we want you to give women 70% of that budget. And this is what we want you to do. These are the women that came to you in the last 6 months and you have not given them money. There are records that shows which women have gone to IDC to request money, and those women were rejected by their boards. Why don't you challenge them? Nothing stops you from doing that. If you can't do that, ask the CGE to subpoena them. If they don't come, use the CGE. It accounts also to you. You can work with it, subpoena them, get the information from those people. There's a lot that you can do. The onus is on you. Are you willing to do that?
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. I think the two colleagues, Honorable Che and Honorable Machis, have spoken a lot, Che. And I think maybe Minister will understand our frustration. You know, I've been in this committee since 2009. And I must say that I don't even see light, you know. Even there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel. And your mandate is very clear. And the President has given you a lot of powers, you know, to deal with socio-economic empowerment of women. But I think we're still, you know, it's a long way. It's a long way that you are going to take, Chairperson. And, you know, one other question that I had, it's, you know, the question that has been raised by Honorable Machezi on the issue of this revising the targets, you know. Previously, before financial year end of 15-16, we had a challenge of discontinuing targets. And we fought a lot with the department, the DG, saying this shows a lack of planning and a lack of leadership in your department. And but now we are getting the very same. Maybe we don't understand this thing. Maybe if you can unpack it, the one in slide 29, maybe we'll be able to understand. Because surely it's going to affect your performance in the annual, you know, annual report. So I think maybe if we can, because it seems as if it's a norm in your department. That's how you do things. When you are towards quarter 3 and 4, you change. Yeah, you could discontinue, you disconnect, you revise your things. So I think maybe if we can unpack it, we'll be able to understand it. And the other issue, it's on the, you know, some of the targets you have not reached them. You have not reached them because there was lack of consultation, or you have not consulted enough internally. And I'm just asking myself that your department is too small, so how could then it be a problem of consultation internally? What are the challenges, you know? That's my problem. How could you then not achieve those targets because of that reason? And the other issue, Minister, on the issue of that international trip, I think you have already, CFO, you have already submitted your expenditure to the National Treasury. And surely, the very same figures and the number of the trips that have been presented there, that's what you have presented to the National Treasury. If I'm correct, is that the same document that you are sending to the National Treasury? Mm-hmm. CFO? Who's the acting CFO?
Mazima.
And then, oh, a program 2. Ask is. Oh, program 2. Oh, acting CFO. Yes, sir. Bazima. I arrest my case. Because already that report, that expenditure report, has been submitted to the National Treasury. So to me, something is fishy. Not something is not going right in that department. Just explain that the costing part of it, the report in general, because surely it's in the table of the National Treasury. And quarter 2 has we have completed quarter 2 long ago. We are now in, you know, implementing the targets in quarter 3. And maybe just to give me, Val, the difference between your M&E system and your M&E framework. What does that mean? Because it appears in your
your program, yeah, in your documents, program 2 and program 3. And on the issue of the disciplinary cases of the two directors, you said that they're still remaining unresolved and we are engaged in the DSD. I just want to check because we have spent already a lot of money, more than 800,000 for the two cases. And, you know, we are always complaining about the budget, the limited budget that we are getting. And when you add actually the four cases that we are having, it's over $1 million, which we don't have actually from our department. So I just want to check, are those, you know, two directors not employable in your department? Because you are still going to, you know, spend a lot of time speaking to DSD, and if DSD can't absorb them, what's going to happen? Still a challenge in our department. And on the other side, they're getting the salaries whilst they're at home. And on the other side, we are employing. There are vacancies in our department and continuously employing the staff. So I'm just checking, are they not employable? Can't you absorb them in your... actually you don't absorb, because they're already part of, of your salary scale. So can't you give them, you know, you feed them some way in your department? Definitely. Thanks.
Ngibonga Sihlalo. Ngiphinde ngibonge nalapho ngaphambili isethulo senu. Kodwa ke mina nakho ngizocela nje ukuthi ngishaye ngakho okufisha. Okokuqala la ngiyabonga esethulweni esithulela ngaphambi kwami ukuthi lo mnyango uzosebenzisana ka social development kanjalo nabantwana. Ebengizocela nje ukuthi ke ngikubuze ukuthi ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi nizokwazi ukusiza kanjani kulaba kulezi ndawo ezibizwa ngokuthi ama hostel lezi ezazikade zihlala ebeyihlala abantu besilisa before uthole ukuthi one room bashera imbhede u-4 manje kodwa sekukhona abantu besifazane lapha, labantu besifazane already bazele baney'ngane, uthole ukuthi imindeni e-difference but ihlala emzini eyi-1 kunye nabatwana. Abatwana lapha yawuthotha abafundi abanayitifiketi bahamba nqunu ile nto enithi ngesingisi niken bahamba nje kanjalo abayi nasey'koleni. Nasimo sokudlungiwa sikhona njengoba nje ngingakwenza i-example le nto ngiyithole e-hostel kwamashu wa 39 kusho ukuthi nakwamanye futhi zikhona lezo zinto. Okunye nazi ikhukhula enizibonile ziyenzeka, abantu besifazane ba-affectekile kakhulu. Siyabona kuyimanje khona umndeni okhalayo nangengane otholakala ukuthi ilahlekile, even nabatholi ngisho ithambo layo. Nangu nowesifazane otholakale naye ukuthi bekhulela. Umbuzo wami Sihlalo, bemfuna ukwazi ukuthi thina njengalo mnyango iliphi iqhaza esingalenza ukuthi laba bantu, ngoba ikakhulukazi abantu aba-affektheka lapha yanabesifazane, niyazi ukuthi ekugcineni thina sizisulu zawo wonke umuntu lana. Abantu besilisa bayasishiya, mhlambe bashone, sigcina sesiphelelwa yindawo ebesikuzona ngenxa yemithetho ethize ekhona esasicindezela namanje. Gcina sesifudukele emadolobheni sesiyohlala lana iy'ndawo zethu ey'bekeka ebucike icayini. Thola ukuthi abanye babekade benemhlaba baphucwa yomhlaba, ukuthi yenye into engingafuni ukwazi ukuthi nokwenza kanjani ukuthi bagcine la bantu kubhekwe imvelaphi yabo baphinde babuyiselwe emhlabeni yabo. Okunye ilokhu kwasemaplazini still ku-affecta njalo umuntu wesifazane. Nangu umuntu wesifazane siyambona laphayana ushawa umfana womlungu, umganda ngamatshe umfaka ebhokisini lomngcwabo. Angikhulumi indaba yejoke, ufaka ebhokisini uyakhala umuntu wesifazane, uyamshaya, uyamcindezela. Ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi zonke lezo zinto thina bantu besifazane yini enithembisa ukuthi nizokwazi ukuthi nisilwele, ngoba
Ezesho u honorable Shewu. Thina bantu besifazane asikakaboni sifika kulento okwakukhulisa sasithenjisiwe before and sisasele emuva. Ingakho ngithi DG ngemvume yakho sihlalo. Kufanele ukuthi maye eza kuleli komiti azi ukuthi uza kubantu abathwele kanzima abazi usizi esibhekene nalo ngendlela eyisimanga. Okokugcina ngci imali ziyatholakala ukuthi zikhona kodwa uma uthi uyayibheka lezi mali uthi uyayilandelela oziboni ukuthi isebenza kanjani. Abantu besifazane emakhaya banemhlaba nje lele, angikaze ngizwe ukuthi leli komiti liyaphuma liye kubona liyobaqoqa abantu basemakhaya libatshele ngamalungelo abo libatshele ukuthi oba nayo imhlaba ikhona ilele. Yini okufanele niyenze ukuze nikwazi ukuphila, kuze kungathi umama mayishonelwe indoda, kuze kusebenze leli temo ongalazi laqhamukaphi ukuthi umali ayigcekeni ufanele angenwe, if uma ingafuni ukungenwa la igcekeni funeka aphume ahambe. Mina bengizocela ukuthi ngempela ngempela zonke izinto ukuthi iliphi ithemba enisinika lona ukuthi ngempela sibambisane siphume siphumele emakhaya. Ngoba emakhaya le nto ezinto esixoxa ngazo nje asifiki nakufika kuzona abazizwa. And ngibuyele kuminister ngemvume yakho sihlalo. Minister siyabonga ukuthi ube khona. Kufuna ukubona ukuthi masikhala ngokuthi siyakudinga sike sikudingelane. Sike sikudingela lokho ukuthi sikwazi ukubona ukuthi wena ofeyilayo or abantu abangaphansi komnyango wakho. Ngoba ngisaphinda ukufeyila kwaleli komiti ukuhambisa izidingo emphakathini noma izimfuno zomphakathi akusho ukuthi kusifeyile umnyango wakho minister noma wena. Kufeyila thina uqobo. Okubuhlungu ke thina siwa bantu kuneyintandane egcwele emnyango. Niyabona kuyashona emakhaya angiboni futhi beqwashiswa basazi ukuthi amagobongo. Kuyafuneka ngelinye ilanga ke sikhulunywe ukuthi leli komiti liphume and ngiyakhala nge-oversight kulalana kule portfolio komiti. Ngikaze ngiyibone yenzeka. Ngiyabuza mangabe mhlambe ngine-mistake ke ngizocela ukuxolisa ke kodwa nje ngiyabuza ngakwenziwa yini. Abantu abakhubazekile banemisebenzi eminingi ababayenzayo kodwa uthola ukuthi egcineni igcina bengazi ukuthi bayizoyimaketha kanjani ukuthi ithengo basizakale. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you Chairperson. I'll refer to what the honorable member has written down. I just want to know, as you now work in collaboration with the Department of Social Development, how do you assist people who are staying in the hostels that were occupied by men before, together with their children that are always run naked, and the situation is that the overcrowding is a problem? Because in one apartment they sleep together in large numbers and rape is possible there. Meaning that different families live together in these apartments. They don't have birth certificates. They use vulgar language and they use one toilet for that matter. Secondly, just recently we have seen the floods in Johannesburg. People who are affected mostly are women and children, as well as pregnant women. Others have just drowned and they died. What can this department do to protect these women and children and these children, because we can see that people are not taken care of? And what mechanisms can be used to protect them? How is the department going to intervene in this matter so that we can see them getting assistance and even getting being provided with houses? And because others are having their own land but they are unable to use it correctly. Lastly, people are suffering in the farms. We've seen a white farmer putting a person in a coffin alive, busy slashing him with a stick and throwing stones to him. As this department, what are you doing and what protection are you going to give this to this person and to these people who are suffering. He was just lashing him with a stick, throwing stones to him, giving him a hiding with a big stick. What do you promise as a this department, what do you promise as a protection to these people who are suffering? We are not yet enjoying the fruits of our freedom. And budget is there, but we don't know how it is utilized because it doesn't reach people in the rural areas. And these things are happening to avoid this Ngena custom where you are forced to marry a person after your husband has died. These are all the things that we must intervene as a department and teach people how they can avoid this and be able to help themselves in rural areas. And the disabled people are able to work actively. They produce a lot of things, but there are no markets where they can market their products. Please help and intervene. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say that a lot of hard-hitting questions have been asked by my colleagues, so I'm not going to pursue that again. I just want to say I endorse what has been said. While I share the concerns of my Kaula, I don't actually think that some of the concerns she's raised can be laid at your door. So I think that's a bit tough, but you know, we must work forward and interact with all the departments as much as we can. But you have to stick to your mandate, and I think the previous questions were directly related to your mandate. I have a question. While I support what colleague Honourable Tseke said about people who are sitting at home earning big salaries but are not doing anything, could they not be employed or used in some way so that their labor is used? I agree with that in a point, but at the same time, if these people are subject to disciplinaries, then is it correct that we then use them somewhere else? I want to know why it takes so long for justice to be meted out. If it's a disciplinary and it's serious, surely action should be taken. The disciplinaries must be handed up quickly and get it over and done with. If the people have really done something bad, then they must be out. What delays all these processes? I'm not familiar, but I think this is a serious problem we have within our country, that there are people all over who have been condemned for one or other action, but they're sitting at home living a comfortable life, and we are not seeing justice done. Thank you.
Sorry, Oslana, can't even call the sangan. Yeah, Baba. Yeah, I'm going to call the sangan. I can't even be correct. Mrs. Robertson. Kodwa ke umuntu esifazane lona oshayiweyo hayi wendoda ofakwe ebhokisini kodwa engangijwayeli lo angasho la ukuthi
just wanted to ask the acting CFO if, because I don't understand now on the organogram where he is, because he was a DDG corporate before. What position were you holding before? Sorry? Oh, he's still both. Okay.
Minister, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with what is happening in your department. We're not fighting with you, but we have to be frank. And the picture that is being painted for us as people outside your office. There's poor communication amongst yourselves. And it's worrying. You're not supposed to come here and start correcting ODG. What is happening? I'm addressing you now, not others. I'm begging you, before you people come here to deliver the information to us, give yourself time. Where you call the people in your office and spell out their shortcomings. I didn't like what was going on here. Because it then says, like you said, but 1, 2, 3 hasn't been discussed. Then why bring it here? And that is why the members of the committee are upset, and rightfully so. What is the reason? Are we being hoodwinked? Are we looked at people who are not going to pose questions? It's bad. You want to get much? I'll sit on you. Don't allow others to happen. Really. It paints a very bleak picture. I really can't understand what is going on. And I'm saying it in your presence, DG. I'm saying it in your presence. There's something amiss here. Do you listen to each other? Are you working as a team? Because maybe at times the minister won't be in the office, but you can actually talk to each other and correct each other. We don't expect anybody to actually be, well, I think I can use a strong word, because I'm a great grand. No, yeah, oh yes. Delinquency won't be acceptable because it will destroy the organization. It will. Sit back and think properly. What do we report? Will be called to the strategy, and wouldn't like to actually splash out what is happening. Please work as a team. Work as a team. And talking about the way you had to cut short, you're in Kigali, and you didn't go somewhere else. You then decided we're cutting down. Then financially, it has a bearing. Now, the way it was reported, wasteful expenditure. Let's be careful about such things. Let's report the truth. And no one will be sent to the gallows for not actually spending the money. The other question I wanted to actually put on the table is the matter of the two people. They were part of the of the department for years, and then all of a sudden they fell off. It's a long time. Long, long time. And money is being used. Money is being used. And there hasn't been any explanation as to the time frame. It is worrying. Have they committed any crime? There was nothing said to date. Which then make me wonder, where are these, this disciplinary action, what is it based on? That's for you. That's for you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. And just to take this opportunity, we've heard from the committee. We do have challenges. And I think the committee must appreciate that. Because if we're going to come to the committee hoodwinking you, it's even worse. Yes, we might come across as not talking. We are talking. There's no department we talk together like this one. We have a exco every fortnight. Just to share with you that it's not about not talking, but I think it's about the mandate itself and its complexity, which puts us here today. Because it's not an easy one. I also want to respond to the question raised around mainstreaming. No, we're not talking about ourselves not understanding mainstreaming as a department. We're talking about other departments where they must establish gender focal points for them to be able to mainstream women issues. You see the perception out there that there's a department of women. If anything to do with women, it must go there. And I think that's what we must be mindful about, to say a issue of gender or women mainstreaming, it's not about women, it's about society. It's attitude, it's behavior, because if we think that it's a women issue, then we think the same way as most people think, and we think in a patriarchal way, which believes that a problem of women must be resolved by a woman. Our problems are societal problems. And that's what I thought I need to clarify. When we talk, it's not the department which has a problem. It's government. It's other departments. It's where, that is why I raised the issue of, when I said the DG must clarify, it's the other DGs where they meet and supposed to discuss how, the how part, are they going to mainstream the budgets we're talking about in recognizing and monitoring themselves before we come in, because it's not, we're not going to be able, even if we can look, because you see, we can look at their annual reports, but the reality, somebody needs to break it down and speak to it. So if you don't have someone in the department, if in their excos they don't discuss what are the implications of their budget when it comes to women, it's not going to work. Because what you find in departments is that you find a deputy director. A deputy director don't serve in strategic management, don't serve in decision making by that department. So we are saying, let the issues of women be strategic, be priority, and therefore whoever has been appointed as a gender focal point must form part of EXCO. That is why we're also saying the DG must take responsibility, and that must form part of the DG's responsible in that department. Because that's the only way we can drive the gender, the program of women. Otherwise, it becomes a side issue. It becomes an issue of a small director or deputy director down there. So it's like creating job for somebody, but it's not so important. So that's the issue. And I think I want to agree with Chweni when he raises the issue of, like, IDC. Unless you have it at the board level, at the strategic level, as a CEO, it will never be important. So I thought I need to clarify the issue of what is the issue about gender focal points. That's what we're referring. No, ourselves, we might be having challenges, but we are clear. And we are clear our mandate. It's not about delivering. We are not a service delivery department. We have to go out and go and look at programs. Our responsibility is to go and see what other departments are doing, and I think we share the same, like this portfolio committee. And we've got to make sure we share with you. I agree. We must share with you for you then to say, we're visiting this particular area where you have identified agri-parks, that these are agri-parks which are delivering for women. How many women? And I just want to assure the committee that those are the issues which we've been struggling. I don't want to say it's been easy. We've been struggling in driving this car. This car, it's not easy. Because even internally, our understanding, you're right, our mandate has been made easy by the president. It's true. 9-point plan. Economy. But it doesn't mean we must go and engage with this department, sit down, and then get overwhelmed by them, because that's the problem. People think that they must go to departments. We're not going to deliver. We've got to operate at a high level where they must account to us, analyze that information, then be able to say, here, as you, Chweni, Honorable Chweni pointed out, you are not doing this. And we must raise questions. And we must also make sure that those programs are deliverables. And part of that, it goes to the discontinued targets. Because those targets, we will not deliver, I must be honest. I must be honest, because if I'm going to come here and say we will deliver and I come back being great next year, why should then we continue doing something which we know we'll not be able to do? That's what I'm dealing with. And one of my responsibilities is to analyze why is it, I mean, child care belongs to social development. Why should we deal with social development? But also to share with you why childcare, I feel we can't continue. It's an academic exercise. It's theoretical where we're going to look. It's a research issue. The impact of childcare on working women or unemployed women. We must go, it must be done at a high level. And we will not be able to do it. I must be honest. Whether I'm here or out, we will not be able to deliver. Because it's a high-level situation which needs to start somewhere. Our budget does not allow us to do that. Because as you interrogate or question us, you must also relate to the money. What funding is there to do that? We don't have it. Let alone many, many other programs. So I'm saying issues which are being discontinued as we come during the third term, we'll be coming back to having packaged. So, because if childcare is in the Department of Social Development, why do you want to duplicate that? And I agree with Machete that Chairperson, hey, I've seen some of these things. Some of them are correct, but they go back. I must be honest. We are saying we are a team. They go back. I've hammered on STEM many times. Because how it was conceptualized, we're no longer dealing with the STEM as it was during your era. We're dealing with UWESO. What we should be telling you, it's the partnership we have with UWESO. That's what we'll be telling you to say. With UWESO, we have a Technogirl program, not STEM. A Technogirl program which is at high schools. If I have to elaborate, Chair, It's at high school. It's identifying needy kids from needy schools identified at grade 9 and then being matched with companies and be funded and being taken through for the rest of the period until those kids reach university and also get employment. And I must say, I'm sorry, I want to say DG. Chairperson, not DG. Chairperson, may I please say, when we have a program of UWESO, to invite the committee. We must invite you for you to see. It's not Technogirl, it's about career pathing, if I simply outlined. It's a career pathing, but mainly focusing on maths and science. I mean, this year we had 200 companies who pledged to also contribute to the STEM in the partnership with UWESO. One company said, we are going to take 10 girls. 10 girls from grade 9, not high school, not university, but they nurture them until they go to university. And they also become, if you go to Petro SA, you will find that there are those techno girls who have come through UWESO. This year, one of the girls who was doing her final year was saying, no, matric, I don't want to be a techno girl. I want to be a lawyer. I've been exposed to various opportunities, but I want to serve the people. She's bright. She's doing well in science, but she says, I want to work with the people. That's the purpose of the techno girl. So it's not STEM purely which drives engineering. It's about opportunities for young, poor girls. Hence, the program has produced over 8,000 employed young women today. So I thought I need to clarify to say, I hope from today we're not going to come to the committee with STEM. They are here, they can hear. They must come back to you with Techno Girl and its program and showing each year how many young girls have been recruited. And where are they, those girls? Because then it will help you when you do your oversight in getting that report. So I thought I need to indicate, we're not indifferent. It's just that I'm correcting to make sure I don't hoodwink you, as you say. Because if I don't correct the STEM, Machesi is right. Machesi is right, Honorable Machesi. We came here and said we're removing STEM. But today we're coming back, we're having STEM. Indeed, there is STEM, DG. There is STEM. But we've long done away with STEM. We are dealing with Technogirl in partnership with UWESO. And it's about high school. Kids from grade 9 girls. That's what we're dealing with. So that's what we've got to come and report about instead of Technogirl, because I've looked at page 29 indeed. We're talking about STEM, you know. And the other issue which I need to respond to, it's this one, to clarify. When we talk about this challenge which we had, it arises right from the beginning when we were doing the restructuring of the department. And the restructuring, DG has been, I must be honest, Chair, DG has been reporting about the processes that maybe as it comes out today, it comes out from wasteful expenditure. But it's part of the process of the restructuring of the department, which was approved by DPSA and Treasury. And it left these people outside in terms of job descriptions and where they were. So in the department, they had no space. It led us to that wasteful expenditure. But also, you will see what we have done now. We've brought them back, not in there, and we had to engage because it was also changing their job description. We have taken them to other portfolios. We had one risk manager, but we had two risk managers. So the other one was additional to the establishment. That's the one who has led to this. And the other one was facilities. Yeah, into fana na leyo. Don't ask me, what is it? But we had difficulties of what we found, Honorable Tseki. You know, facilities at a director level. You're trying to define what is this facilities. There's nothing. And you have to reshape it. And when you, now the new structure, when DPSA looks at that, facilities, there's nothing like that. You go to all government department, there's no post of facilities except us. So they cut, you don't need this. So that's part of the problem which made us to end up with this. It's now resolved because we've brought them back, see where they can, because if we don't bring them, and maybe I also need to indicate, we've been engaging with social development. Because what happened when we were doing the restructuring with the previous DG and the previous DDG, they took their money, transfer to social development, the money, and left the people. So the posts are not there because their money is gone. So we are stuck with them. That's part of the legacy which we had to inherit. So we've been trying to resolve the matter with social development. They were not budging. They were not keen. So we've brought them back because they continue to cause a wasteful expenditure when it comes to AG. We've engaged with AG, unfortunately. Yes, they sympathize, but when they record, they have to do it this way. They did say they understand our predicament, so that is why we've brought them back. The one CD, it was the chief director, legal, Grootboom. What has happened? I guess they've downgraded our structure. We no longer have chief director legal. We have director legal. So we negotiated. We were trying to place her, and we negotiated with telecommunication. And I must say, they've taken her because they were looking for a chief director. So it's like, that is why we said transferred. It's not that they've done anything wrong. It's how the new structure was designed. And the one of at the top, which is DDG Corporate, again was downgraded to chief director. And we tried also to negotiate with various departments on the DDG Corporate Service, where they say the size of the department don't require a DDG Corporate. But in turn, as we were negotiating, but other departments were calling her to come in for interviews of DDG. And I just want to share with it, she has failed those interviews at that level. So I thought it's important for us to say, we've been trying by all means to place them. So far we've succeeded in one, and there they were four. We've succeeded in two, and we're left with that two. The other two directors, we have managed to, they were consumed by other departments. But these two, we are stuck. That's why we're bringing them back. So if you can see next time, in the next quarter when we come back, they will not be there. And the CD will not be there. So because we have managed to place them. The DDG Corporate will still be there because there are issues unresolved internally. Hence, we're taking an approach on issues which I don't want us to go into detail, but where we're going to move, now we are moving into, we are at a level DG of suspension. She's suspended now, which is the DDG, I'm sorry, the DDG Corporate. She's under suspension because there are a lot of issues which were not satisfactory and has led us to that. But we will come and update you. So I thought that I need to clarify the issue of this particular area because it's important to share, to say we were affected by the restructuring. Otherwise, if the restructuring never happened, when I came in, we were accepted, they would still be in the department. It would not be reflecting as wasteful expenditure. But the AG said, unfortunately, they have to code it this way as wasteful expenditure. We have transferred Sybil. We are here now. We are left with the DDG. And just also to deal with the issues, I think, of the discontinued. I want to say to the committee, when we come back, because some of those issues, as I've indicated, they belong to 9-point plan. They are not standalones. When we come to the committee, we must give you a report which clearly say the Department of Agriculture, this is what is doing on women. These are the concerns. Or they are delivering, we are happy. So I thought I need to say that. Hence the issue I indicated with the 9-point plan as a whole to say, we're relooking because the approach we're taking will never deliver. And we'll not even be able to deliver on the mandate given to us by the president. Because we want to sit with department. And they're going to play hide and seek around us. And we will not be able to deliver because they must tell us. We've sent letters to say, tell us, what are you doing? So I thought I need to indicate those issues to say, DG is saying the others have been taken by transport. Yes, we consulted.
And we failed to get
in. DG is showing the department we've been trying to talk to because we're not talking on to department which didn't have this post. When it comes to the DDG, they had the post. But unfortunately, as I say, the DDG could not make it. She was given an opportunity, but she didn't pass. And if those, I think Honorable Grace will know, when the department started, if you go back when the DDG was employed, in terms of going to the records, she was not number one. Eh? Those were then, I'm not talking about now. You know, you understand that. So we're still dealing with also, that is why today we'll come here and we take the blame. We take it. There's no problem. We can't say it's the past. We will take the flag, and we agree with you, we've got to correct that. That's part of our responsibility. Because even then, where we are today, she did not perform. But if I say as a minister, I want the person, I want the person. And unfortunately, this is a post which goes to cabinet. So if it went through cabinet, and on the basis of what I say, the cabinet had to endorse it. That's the problem and the predicament. But also, given that there were those challenges, there are matters which, whilst we were there even then, have led now to internal audits, including AG, to take disciplinary measure against the particular incumbent. So that's where we are. Deal with the issue, okay, I've dealt with mainstreaming, governance, time frames. When we come back with our third quota, we will be having time frames, as the Honourable Member says. DG has indicated we are trying to take it forward, but we have not delivered because the DGs will lobby. In fact, you must also help me to lobby. Because the DGs are going to lobby their ministers to reject the issue of gender focal points. And I must also say, maybe the mistake we're making is that we must come and present, even if it's not conclusive, the proposal on gender focal point, because it's not us. Comrade Chwewi, it's the old work around gender focal points right from 1997, which established those who were in parliament, the issue of national gender machineries, you find it there, but the implementation is not happening. That's the problem. That's what we're dealing with. Now we thought by just making sure that we collate all the information, pull it together, now the DGs are realizing, because the issue of being in the DG's office, you find it in the various documentation at various points of government. But they don't want to implement. We're not introducing new policies. We just consolidated what exists. So maybe as a committee, you might want to help us. In fact, even subpoena DPSA on the matter, because at the end, it's not us who become the employers, but the people who must implement and make sure it happens, it's DPSA, to share with the committee. In fact, DPSA was even refusing us to tamper with that, because they say it's going to be reviewed in 2018, am I right? Into why? What are we doing? So those are the difficulties and the challenges, Chairperson. Some of them we might like fighting, but there are also in fights which we're fighting out there, because people are saying, don't tamper with our work. So we had to push, as you say, we must fight. We fought. That is why now we've got a refined. Ultimately, DPSA agreed. But now these other departments are helping to block it. So I think if DPSA can be called, we can assist in getting their policy, which they don't want us to touch, which they say it will be reviewed in 2018. It means women must wait for 2018. And if you ask them what are they doing, they're doing nothing. So I thought it's important for me to also indicate that. The other issues which I wanted to say, Mbazima is the corporate service, because we're a small department, he's also the acting CFO. But also we thought it becomes important to get someone who will be able, because you can't take a director to treasury. They think that you're not serious.